It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining me for our weekly outdoor visit. KETR gives us the opportunity this time each week to talk about hunting and fishing and camping, everything to do with the outdoors. You know, this show is made possible by Young's Wilderness Camp up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada. The toll-free number up there is 866-894-0674. The website is youngswildernesscamp.com. They offer deer hunts in the fall and some awesome fishing in the fall and summer months. You know, our show is also underwritten by the Dallas Safari Club. And I want to invite you to go online to their website, which is biggame.org. Their convention, their yearly convention in Dallas, will be held this year, January the 3rd through the 6th. You know, till season is still going strong right now. I've had some hit or miss hunts so far. Actually, last week, we went down, some buddies and I, down to Trinity County, which is down, actually hunted a friend's ranch that's located between Trinity and Groveton. It's about 30 miles from Crockett, but he has a couple of small lakes on the place, and they were loaded with teal. We finally got in some good teal hunting and had a good shoot, but the best tips I think that any of us could have on teal is to do a lot of scouting. Now, I've heard Lake Cooper has had some sporadic good shooting up there for teal, but, you know, some of the big ducks will stay put. Once the migration starts and the ducks come down in numbers, it's common to find the concentration of ducks at one place for a week at a time or longer if they haven't been disturbed. But teal hunting is not that way at all. Teal are a here today, gone tomorrow species of duck, and it's important to get out there a day before you hunt and spend the time to find the birds. A lot of times I'll use binoculars. And we do most of our hunting from the bank. You know, we have some small boats. I have a little boat called a new canoe that I use to set decoys and retrieve ducks if we don't have a retriever with us. But I get out there with the binoculars and check out the flights early in the morning, late in the evening. You'll see them. They'll be moving. And that's about the best tip I could give for teal hunting. And, you know, teal, you don't need a big decoy spread to attract teal, and you don't really need to do a lot of calling. The blue wing makes a little peeping sound that I've found to be effective at times. But basically, if you've got 10 or 12 decoys out and you hide pretty well, that's all it takes to decoy teal. And teal usually fly. If you're an experienced duck hunter, you'll agree with me. Most of the teal that are killed early morning. Sometimes late in the evening it can be good shooting too, but during that first 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour of daylight, is when the best teal hunting takes place. And you don't need the big magnum loads to hunt teal. So I see people shooting a 3, 3.5 inch. 3-inch shells are pretty common, but I've seen people go out with loaded with number fours, 3.5 inch number fours. But usually I do most of my teal hunting with 2 3/4 inch shells, and no bigger than number 5 shot. That's plenty big for teal. So that's just some tips that I think might help you. And we still have some more time to hunt teal. And, you know, the season is really, the migration is just now getting underway good in some places. So hopefully you'll have some real good teal hunts in the next few days yourself. Folks, our guest today is Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail. Larry's been with us a lot in the past, and he's kind of my go-to person for a lot of things hunting related, and especially anything to do with whitetail deer. Larry, thanks for being with us, buddy.
It is my pleasure, as always, Luke. I mean, we're into the whitetail season this year, and it's fantastic.
It's kicking off, Larry, and I'm fired up about it. You know, I thought I might get you to talk about some of the vocalizations that deer do, especially bucks. For instance, the snort wheeze. You know, up till actually kind of you brought that to the forefront, you never heard it, but it's a very popular way to attract bucks, isn't it?
It really is. I've been doing this now almost 40 years, because years ago when I was working at Texas A&M with the Wildlife Disease Project, I listened to those bucks make all kinds of vocalizations and found out very quickly that was something they normally did right before a fight, right after a fight, and it's some very aggressive sound. And basically it's just a fit, fee, and it's a sound. And a lot of times I use it right with, in conjunction with rattling, or just when I'm sitting around somewhere and getting bored.
Yep.
Because there's nothing moving. Or particularly if I see an old buck, it's walking. You know, sometimes you'll see an old buck and it's like he's on a mission. And you can blow your grunt call, or you can make sounds, and you're about to the point of going, "Hey, you!" You know, and trying to get him to stop long enough to either get a shot at him or
right,
to look
yep.
at him. And if you can make that snort wheeze, and it's nothing more than just a fit, fit, fee sound, that buck will generally stop, turn around, and look to see who's challenging him. So, I mean, it's a great sound to use in a hunting situation.
Well, you know, Larry, deer, as we both know, are very, very vocal animals. Folks, I'll tell you, I've had the privilege of spending a good bit of time hunting with Larry, and Larry Wyson can make sounds in the woods that, with his mouth, that sound deals that attract, sounds that attract deer, get them coming in. Larry, did you learn a lot of those sounds just by being out there and listening to deer, you know, for years and years? Or how'd you come about learning how to make the sounds?
Actually, it goes back to those years when I was with the Wildlife Disease Project at Texas A&M. We had a bunch of deer in our pens, and I would listen to the vocalizations those deer made and then see what kind of reactions you got from the deer involved, and then parlayed that into me going out in the woods and just trying different things. I mean, deer are very individualistic, like you and I are and everybody else out there, in terms of the pitch of their voice. Some of them have a deep voice. Some of them have a very high-pitched voice. Some of them are very vocal. Some of them are less vocal. But deer also are very curious. So very often, if you can make a sound that's even close to what a deer makes or what you think a deer might make, they may come in to see what's going on. In the past, when we first started doing vocalizations, the only vocalization people thought there was that, you know, kind of sound that they made when they, just before they ran off.
Just before they stamped their foot and hit the road.
That's right. And I started messing with the deer in our pens and elsewhere, and realized, too, if a deer made that sound, generally I responded with the exact same sound. And after a little bit, you know, it's all of a sudden they start feeling much more at ease. But, too, those bucks during the fall are very vocal, a lot of them are. And, I mean, they'll walk around going, eh, and take a few steps and go, eh. And basically they're advertising, you know, that they're in that area to the, all the does that are there, and at the same time letting the bucks, that they know that they're there as well. So deer make all kinds of different sounds, and again, they're very curious. Sometimes they'll respond to a sound simply out of curiosity, even if it doesn't sound anything like a deer does.
Exactly. Well, you know, I guess the first grunt sound or call was Eli Haydale, and I think, Larry, that you worked with Eli a lot, didn't you, back in the day when he was coming up with those?
We did. Eli was a musician that had a perfect ear for sound,
mm-hmm.
and so he tried to duplicate as much as he could. Those first few calls that he came out with many, many years ago now were just fantastic, and we called up a lot of deer with him. But over the years, I started using my natural voice simply because I'd get somewhere and I'd realize I'd forgotten my grunt call. So at the same time, I started doing all those grunts with my mouth as well, with my natural voice, and found that I could attract deer or hold deer's interest the same with it as I could with the grunt calls. But they've been around for a long time, and you know, there's still most people that are serious deer hunters, somewhere in their gear box or what they carry, they seem to carry it. You know, grunt call these days.
You bet. You know, Larry, you were talking about here a week or so back, you started, I think, at Greystone Castle. You were out there and you're using your Zeiss binoculars up on a hill, and you were already watching some bucks on some scrapes up there. And you'd mentioned to me that, you know, that is a good indication that it's time to break out the rattling horns, right?
It really is. I mean, years ago, I spent time with Al Brothers and a bunch of other guys in South Texas, and had rattled a lot prior to that. But Al told me down there, he said, "Larry, when you see the first scrapes," he says, "that's when you want to start using your rattling horns." I did, and we rattled up bucks. Now, initially, right in this time frame that we're in, kind of the, well, really, we're in the pre-rut, in different stages of the pre-rut scattered across Texas and our kind of southwest area. To me, now is the time to take those rattling horns, and those bucks are spending a lot of time rubbing on trees. So I'll use my rattling horns rubbing on trees, and then at the same time, I'll bring them together very gingerly like those bucks are sparring. And generally what happens, those bucks will kind of come together, don't hit together very hard. They just kind of move back and forth with their antlers, pull them apart, look around and see what other buck is watching them. So basically in this time frame that we're into here in late September, early October, that's generally the way that I rattle. And then as I get closer to the rut, I get a lot more aggressive in it.
You bet. Well, it's definitely an effective way. And I wonder, you know, like you'd mentioned, deer are just, they're very curious critters. The sound of just tinkling those antlers together and all, you can just picture an old buck. Maybe he's not in the hard part of the rut yet, but he's curious. And like you said, with the vocalization, they're like people, you know, might wonder which buck is it over there. And,
right.
You know, a lot of hunters use that to their advantage. I know I have. And had bucks, they really don't come out with their hackles up ready to fight a lot of times early on with that rattling, but I've had them come out, you know, and probably more out of curiosity than anything, you know, Larry.
You know, I don't really care why they respond.
Yeah,
I just
right.
love the fact that they do.
Exactly. And whatever it takes to get them out. But then when they really get in the rut and you're on the ground, this is something in the outdoors that has to be experienced. I'm not sure I can describe it with words, but either you're rattling or you've got somebody rattling for you, and you're back behind some brush or behind a big oak or something, and you have a buck come in and skid. I know you've done it a million times. I've had them skid to a stop right there. I mean, and it's kind of scary, really. I mean, he's coming in looking for a fight, isn't he, Larry?
He really is. I've had some friends out from the southeast that kind of talk with an Alabama, you know, Georgia, Mississippi draw, and they'll come in after we do something like that, and after that buck comes in, you can just see them all jump backwards and get back into camp, and they'll say, "You plumb rurnt me, by golly. I ain't going to hunt no other way. You rurnt me."
It's just another tool in the bag of tricks, isn't it, Larry? It works sometimes.
It
when it works, though, it's you don't forget it. It sticks with you for a long, long time. And but bucks are right now. They're making their scrapes. It's early up in northeast Texas, KETR territory, all from in the northeastern part of the state. But you know, by mid October, bucks up here are in the hard rut. They're up and running most of the time. So it's definitely time to get out there and start. Well, bow hunters, all of us have already been out there. But you know, if gun hunters get out there and look and find some active sign, right?
Absolutely, and then take your rattling horns and rattle them, and nothing comes in, wait about 30, 40 minutes and do it again. And I generally hunt all day long, and I found that some days bucks respond well in the morning, some days mid-morning, some days middle of the day, middle of the afternoon, you know, late. You never really know, but just because you take those rattling horns out and hit them together once or twice, if you don't rattle up a buck, doesn't mean they're not responding. You may just not be hitting the right time frame of that day. So rattle pretty much off and on all throughout the day.
Throughout the day. You know, Larry, the Dallas Safari Club convention this year is January the 3rd through the 6th, and it's called Journeys this year. Now, folks, Larry is always present there. Ruger usually has the stage that Larry and some other outdoor celebrities will be at, but that's a great time for people to come and say howdy to you, isn't it, Larry?
It really is, and plan on spending at least 2 days because I think there are going to be 1,400 to 1,500 booths there from all over the world. It's the finest outdoor show in the world. I mean, taxidermy, art, hunting trips, some of the finest people you'll ever run across to sit and visit with. And you're right, we're going to have the Ruger stage again this year and be there telling some hunting stories. And I just hope everybody comes out. I mean, because if you're not coming to that show, you're missing the greatest show on earth as far as I'm concerned.
You're exactly right, Larry. Well, as always, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Larry. And deer season is underway, and that's what your forte is. You hunt everything but deer. We're going to get you back from time to time and let you keep everybody, you know, tuned in with your tips and things that you've learned through the years. How about it?
I'd love to, and I really appreciate the folks out there listening. Wish everybody a very successful and safe hunting season.
Thank you, Larry. And folks, do remember KETR.org, local programs, and then outdoors. You can listen. This show will be archived for a long, long time, so you can listen to Larry anytime you wish. Until this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.